Welcome to Tell Me Something Good. Join us every week as we break down trends, share our personal journeys, and explore the world of wellness. It's going to be real, unfiltered, and above all else, we will always give you something good.
All right, third time around.
Both times were because of you.
Both times were my fault.
Yep.
Well, I think you set the tone with the first one of a really awful, embarrassing,
shit show.
English accent. But anyway, how are we doing? How was the vacay? That's why
vacay
we weren't here last week.
Great. Yeah? Vacay was great. I went to Turks and Caicos, which is only 3.5 hours away.
Feels like it would be
so
further.
It is so close.
Yeah.
I know. It's. I always forget how close it is.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah. First time?
Anyone. This is my third time.
Okay.
First two times I went with just John. And we stayed at, when I went with just him, we stayed at two like very, very remote locations.
I thought you were about to say romantic.
And romantic. But okay. This time we stayed in kind of like the main area. So it was almost like we had never been there.
Okay.
Because this is a whole, this is where most people stay, but we just had never been there.
Yeah.
But it was great. And my something good actually is related.
All right, we'll go straight into it.
My something good is whenever we go to Turks and Caicos, we always meet like just the funniest people. And this trip was no exception. We were at a place that was a hotel and also a condo. So there were a lot of residents there because they're basically snowbirds, you know, who go down there for the winter. They're like in their last weeks.
Makes sense,
being down there. So one of them we met from Oklahoma.
Ooh.
He's in oil and gas. His name's Tam.
And I know where Oklahoma is because I was actually looking today at the map.
That's where Oklahoma is. Great guy, huge storyteller. And he was like, do you guys know JoJo? And we're like, JoJo. And he's like, oh, you don't know about JoJo? JoJo is like the mascot of Turks and Caicos. JoJo is a dolphin.
Okay.
But apparently he is like... he just really loves humans. He loves boats. He's just super, super friendly. Like he will swim with you, let you touch him. And he now has like tons and tons of offspring. And he...
oh, so when you say mascot, it's not like a dude walking around in a
dolphin
outfit.
No, but he has his own Instagram. He has, I think, 125,000 followers.
You're telling me a dolphin has like 1,000 more followers.
Isn't it hilarious?
Wild.
It's so funny. And the way you know it's JoJo is he has scars on his face because he follows the boats so closely and
actually
falls asleep in the wake of the boats and the propellers, I guess.
Oh my God.
Tim's like, oh, I don't hurt him. He's fine. I was like, really, Tim? I think it hurts him, Tim.
Yeah.
But isn't that just so cute?
That's cute. Yeah.
And they see him like, you know, basically the locals every day, at least somebody on the water sees him. The main source of income really there is tourism.
Yeah.
And it's on the water because the water there is very unique. It's like completely clear.
All right.
So it's this beautiful, beautiful like turquoise color. And they have a reef. So like the water in the reef is relatively calm. So there's basically just a lot of water.
How old do dolphins live for? Do we know?
I think apparently, I think JoJo's 50, which is unreal. That seems long to me. I don't know offhand how long dolphins are supposed to live, but JoJo's old.
You were in K-Tape when you were on?
I am. Yeah. Okay. Tennis elbow. I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Tennis elbow tendonitis is a biatch to get rid of.
I remember you had it a few years back.
Yeah. It's constant.
Yeah.
It's constant. Maybe if I actually, I don't know, had arm strength.
Maybe.
This wouldn't keep happening.
Yeah. It's funny how that happens, right?
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho. Tell me something good. I've changed the melody a little bit to suit my purposes.
I'm just glad that was caught on the recording.
Oh, yeah.
So people understand.
I'm feeling lively. I'm feeling just very comfortable today.
What's in that shake?
I don't know.
What is my something good is I just want to show my gratefulness to two people in my life that are friends first and foremost, but their other role in my life is being mentors to me. Mm. Just, you know, I have a lot of endeavors going on. We won't go into them, but it's very important to have people that have walked the steps and have kind of done the path that you're trying to do, yeah. and can give you advice, give you help, be there for you when you need them. And probably even more importantly, just see things in you that, one, you may not even see for yourself, but two, also just, you know, identify. Well, I guess I'll explain further. So one of the people was, his name's Kurt. He gave me my first job in the software space for real estate. Before that, obviously just personal training, music, selling real estate, but I'd never really had a job. I'd always worked for myself, right? So this was during COVID where I needed an extra source of income. And he saw something in me and gave me a shot. You know, smooth operator. This guy is a big deal. I won't go into his resume or anything, but he just knows business. He knows how, you know, COO, CMO, he's top level. And just to have someone like him that I can, you know, bounce ideas off or just ask advice. And I've learned a lot from him, being about leadership. And yeah, so just, I could go on all day about how great he is, but just again, having someone that, one, took a chance on me, gave me that chance. And then two, just we've maintained our relationship. We don't work at the same company anymore. We still check in, you know, quite a lot, DMs and whatnot, but then we make the effort to meet online every month or two to keep up. And then the other person is my other business coach on the more entrepreneurial side, Tara, who we met through real estate, and she's been coaching me with my real estate business. Just a great all-round person, and again, someone who's just always there and full of wisdom and full of advice and inspiring me to keep pushing through even when things are slow or whatever. So two great people, and I hope everybody can have those people in their lives. You know, it's great to have great friends like yourself and family, but having people who are in the fields that you're trying to conquer, it's great to go to battle with people like that.
Yep. You're lucky. I mean,
yeah, I'm very, very lucky. Yeah. Not to not have just one, but have two.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Especially the entrepreneurial side, because it's such it can be such a lonely place.
Very lonely.
Place.
Yeah.
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 That's great. I love it. That is something good.
Yeah.
So today we're going to have kind of a conversational chat about a few subjects I just wanted to talk about that are all in the world of wellness.
Well, and this first one, if it's the first one you sent me, is very timely based on the last episode we talked about.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of why I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, so. Which I'm glad about, because I was not about this, but about being able to revisit last episode, because I kind of sat back and I thought about it, re-listened to the episode, and I had some kind of fresher thoughts on it, so I'm glad we get to revisit it a little bit. Yeah,
okay. I haven't really thought about it.
Okay. Well, because you're on vacation.
Because I'm brain dead.
Hanging out with dolphins.
Yeah, I was thinking about JoJo. That's about where I am right now. but just in case, you know, not everybody knows this story, it's Andrew Huberman, right? Andrew Huberman.
Daddy Huberman.
Yeah. You may have heard of Huberman Bros. Mm-hmm. Daddy Huberman, huge podcaster in the wellness space.
I think
he's also a
top
professor.
10, I think.
Yeah, definitely top 10, maybe top 5.
Yeah.
He is a professor at Stanford. Really, really smart guy.
We've referenced him a bunch on here.
We've referenced him a bunch. His podcasts are a little unique because they're usually like an hour to 2 hours long, very science-based. And this week, New York Magazine did a cover story on him, and they kind of like investigated his personal life and found out that, like, you know, I'm just going to say it, like, he's really gross toward women. Like, he's had, you know, multiple relationships at the same time, meaning like having sex with multiple women at the same time, and they didn't even know that each other existed. I think he's a misogynist.
Player.
The article basically proved that, like, he's a misogynist. Okay. You know, some people are like, he hates women. I don't know if he hates women, but
sounds like he loves women to me.
Yeah. He loves women, you know. I'm not gonna. Don't say it, Brett. Don't say it. Yeah, I don't think he loves women in the boardroom. He might like them in the bedroom.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said that.
But he likes them both.
I was going to say something worse.
Likes them in the lab.
I held it in the lab, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of like, does he even, he may not even have a lab. So here's where I come, you know, and this is on coming on the heels of the Jay Shetty takedown. I mean, you could call it a takedown. I think, I don't know that I want to call these a takedowns. I think they're just investigative.
Expose, yeah.
Expose, like people have been doing this kind of reporting,
yeah,
you know, forever. With this one, to me, it definitely seems more targeted toward his personal life,
yes,
versus his professional life. It's not like they discovered that he actually isn't a professor and he didn't go to Stanford,
yeah,
you know, or like he doesn't have an education. None of that. That's not the case here. It's really just more he's kind of a pig, personally. And here's where I come out on this. I already could sense the misogyny. Like, if you're a woman, like, you just know. Like, you can sense it. And he's a podcaster. Like, he's not, like, my best friend. Like,
right.
I'm not dating him. I'm not going to marry the guy. I'm already married. But, like, you can choose what you want to listen to and what you don't want to listen to.
Yeah.
So I'm not obsessed with him. Again, like in our last podcast episode, we talked about the danger of having like a guru.
Yeah.
And this proves it once again. Like if he was your hero, you might be very disappointed right now. But, you know, he's not somebody I follow obsessively, but I still think he's giving very valuable information. I actually really – he does take pains to try to be objective. People say that, like, his episode on drinking, on alcohol, has made, like, so many people, you know, stop drinking and think alcohol is evil. But if you listen to that episode, he says repeatedly, like, I'm not telling you not to drink. I'm just giving you the facts.
Yeah.
So long story short, I don't believe – I think before the pandemic, even during it, I would have – been very quick to cancel, and I just don't subscribe to that anymore. I think it's more of like a you do you thing, and I think that the foundation of what he stands for is still solid. And I do think it differs from Jay Shetty, because Jay Shetty, they found that a lot of his credentials weren't true.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference,
right? And
yeah,
his entire background wasn't true, which to me is a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah.
And I already had in my, like, I had stopped listening to Jay Shetty quite a while ago because I was getting the ick. But yeah, I think the two scenarios are very different.
Very different. It's definitely a case of, you know, you can like the message, but not the messenger.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, does it make what he's saying any less important or any less integral? No. You know, it's not like he's presenting facts from a scientific study or whatever, and you're like, oh, you were banging five chicks at the same time, so I don't
right.
believe you.
Like, I don't want to know. Like,
yeah, it doesn't. I think, like we talked about, you can fall into that trap of falling in love with the messenger, and therefore you. And the other danger of it is you fall in love with the messenger and then you just believe the message. Right. So,
yeah,
to your point, this isn't going to make me think he's, you know, I don't listen to his stuff that much. I reference it. Honestly, I find his presentation a bit boring.
Yeah.
But that's just personal preference. But I don't think he's any less smart. And to be honest, I actually kind of came away from it feeling sorry for him, because there's, you know, and going back to prior episodes when I talked about this, like, if you approach things from an empathetic standpoint, mm-hmm. he's clearly a very broken person,
yeah.
and he uses his work to kind of mask that, but yeah. underneath it there's actually a troubled man. And listen, he might come out of this, and I kind of hope he hasn't publicly addressed it, right? I know in the article they refused to.
I'm gonna guess he won't.
I think I wouldn't mind if he did.
Yeah.
But he might come out of this and find real love and be in a strong relationship and not go back to those old ways. You know, I don't really see. I mean, there's people involved, so there's more pain and all that stuff in terms yeah. of the women. But I don't really see it too differently to someone who's, say, addicted to porn.
Yeah.
Right. Like.
Yeah.
there's just trauma he's dealing with, and his way of dealing with it is to have
that's his release,
many sexual relationships.
Yeah. And they say in that, in the piece that was written about him, he's very, very rigid. Like, right. No smoking, no drinking, like only put things into your body, like in his personal life. He's very rigid. He expects people, like he's dating, to be rigid and like super, super health conscious. So like, yeah, it's probably his like one vice.
So I don't think it's any of our business, really, honestly. But then you just go to, okay, when you're in a certain position, you kind of have to accept that you need to act differently. You know, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right. That's not to say he's
got, not to say he's got power or anything like that, but I just think when
he does,
when you're making a living from, essentially who you are and what you give to the world in terms of information or whatever, maybe you do need to look and think, I need to act a bit more responsibly now. But again, it's really not any of our business. I don't care really, like in the scheme of things. Like I said, if I come across information he's presented and I look into it and it's true, all right, great.
Yeah.
You know, but otherwise it's not really earth shattering.
Yeah. I'm with you. Like one of the things too is like, he always talks about his lab and he makes it sound like he's working in his lab every day, but he's not, you know.
Like, I didn't really think that anyway. Yeah.
But like, if you're like a halfway intelligent person, you would understand that like he has a huge podcast now. Like, of course his role has evolved from being in a lab every day to now being maybe a little bit more at a distance. Like, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, the recording is three, four hours long anyway, right? So right. Of course he's not going to be there for the whole day.
You know, and it's definitely a lack of integrity on his part.
Yeah.
I think it's individual choice whether or not you want to keep following him.
But I think making that distinction between someone like Jay Shetty and that whole thing, like you said, different scenario. Huge. Because it's not like we found out he was fudging studies and, you know, taking bribes from people.
And Jay Shetty is now running essentially an MLM. Like, he's taking huge amounts of money from people.
Right. So, you know, it's different. It's
totally different, in my opinion.
But just to revisit that last episode, particularly on Ed Milet, I really like him. I do. I really like his message. I really like what he talks about. Yes, I've seen videos of him when he was selling his financial products, and that was what the MLM was for him. But I do really like him and what he's talking about now. So that's just another example of what I was saying about Huberman. Like, he might come out the other side, and I don't think there's anything wrong with coming out the other side of shady behavior and being a better person and then giving that to the world.
I mean, I don't think there's going to be the slightest decline in his following. I don't think this will hurt him at all.
No.
Honestly.
Yeah, so I just...
You like Ed Milet.
I do. I really think it... Don't... And I'm the same with politics. Like, don't... I don't care about the messenger so much as I care about the message. And I think if people stop focusing on the other way around, you can be more objective, you can be more free thinking, and actually be able to evaluate what someone's saying in a better way, because you're not so attached to who's saying it.
That's right.
You know?
And you never know who needs that message, when they need it. Like, a lot of the stuff these guys are saying, it's not brain surgery. Like, it's not,
and they're not the first people to say it.
It's not like astrophysics. I mean, right. But like, sometimes you just need to hear the message at a certain time. And like, I do respect that they're putting that, you know, whether it comes from a noble core or not, like, they are putting positive energy out into the world.
Exactly. So in short, Huberman likes to mess around outside the lab. Likes to experiment?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Whatever.
We're just going to look the other way.
Yeah.
Jay Shetty, though, I think is canceled.
That one was
canceled.
Yeah.
Even though I should stop saying that. Okay. Here's another thing that's sort of in the wellness ethos. Carnivore diets. I feel like starting more and more, you know, and I feel like this happens every few years.
I know a guy. So interestingly,
you do this.
Yes, and interestingly, Well, maybe not so interestingly, we recorded a whole episode about this. Yeah, we
Sweet.
did. But I selected the wrong microphones. Let me check if these are the right ones. I am. And we couldn't hear it properly, so we had
Oh,
to
I
scrap it.
remember. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yes.
so this
Yes.
is
Right.
allowing us to revisit that in a more
Yeah.
condensed way.
So tell me why. What, first of all, why did you start eating this way?
I came across it, funny enough, the first person that I saw that was really doing this.
Who?
Take a guess. Is in on Instagram.
Oh, on Instagram, a guy or a
A guy.
girl? Guy. Ed Milet.
No. Although he's
I'm
quiet.
sure he does. Andrew Huberman.
No. Liver King.
Liver King. Okay.
Yes. So he's a, if you don't know who he is, he's
Not
big.
lizard.
He's
Liver.
extreme.
Yeah.
Ancestral living. It's just one of those things I've always kind of been drawn to red meat and all of that, but
Yeah.
then I listened to the outdated medical advice that it's not good for you, blah, blah,
Yeah.
blah. And I think when you just start actually objectively looking at it, it's just the best way to eat. It's the most healthy way of living. You can't get all of the essential amino acids from food that's not animal based.
Do you eat grains? Yeah. See, I'm also seeing that in conjunction now with the
But
meat thing, grain-free diets.
I mean, I had a cookie today.
God damn.
I do let it, I'll let
Well,
myself
good. You
have,
shouldn't
yeah,
be
you
in.
can't, look that,
Yeah.
rigid. But here's the thing with the grain stuff, and I kind of loosen my stance on it. So I don't make my kids eat grain free, but it has to be organic because the biggest problem with grains in this country is the glyphosate.
Right, and just explain what that is for.
So we talked about last episode, but it's the pesticides they spray on all the crops. And worryingly now, the problem is it's really deep in the soil. So even if they stop spraying it, it's going to take a long time for it to be out of our food system. But then I say that, and I still drink beer every now and again. I still drink wine, and they probably have glyphosate on
I
them.
mean, I
So
think
it's
probably
just
everything
really,
does at this
it's
point.
really reducing the amount that you have. But
And what kind of, so tell me exactly like a typical day, like what would you eat?
so morning probably, sometimes I will have steak or ground beef, but typically eggs and maybe some bacon. We're talking like 4 to 6 eggs usually. And then it'd be there's always a pound of beef at some point. And then either like some steak at night, or like last night I had some chorizo and cheese. Depends if I'm lifting that day or how intense my exercise was.
And you never get hungry. Did you notice a difference right away?
Well, so I didn't. I kind of eased into it, so I was still doing tubers, which is like potatoes and basically root stuff. So it was kind of a bit more gradual than just meat. So I don't know if I noticed a difference straight away. The big difference I noticed is when I stopped consuming seed oils. So, and I think that's the biggest thing. And I think as time goes by, it's kind of like a pendulum with health. It's like you go from one extreme to the other. So I think right now that it's that extreme of just eat meat. That's all we should be eating. But if you look at some of the tribes that are still operating in that in their old school environments, they eat berries, they eat fruits, they consume honey. I eat a lot of honey. So it's not just meat. So and when you say carnivore, that doesn't really include chicken.
You don't eat chicken.
Very rarely.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like the chicken supply in our
So
country is also very
that,
like
yeah, I mean, I'll
contaminated.
only eat chicken if I buy it from my farm. But the problem with chicken is, without getting all sciencey and that, but then their stomachs don't, well, their systems don't filter out all the stuff they eat. So if they're eating soy and grains, it gets into their muscles, it gets into their fat. So you're still consuming it in one form. So if they're having stuff like, fall under PUFAs, which is polyunsaturated fats, which is what seed oils are, that can get into what you're eating that way. So that's why I don't really eat
I never
Yeah.
realized that. This is gonna sound weird, but I think you were never like massively overweight, so I don't really see a
No.
difference there. But like the whites of your eyes are so white. Has anyone
Really?
told you that?
No. That's not heard that.
I see a definite
Yeah.
difference.
And like this is more seasonal related, but like I don't get sunburned. Obviously, if I'm out in the sun at like 1 o'clock in the middle of the summer, of course I'm gonna get burned. Everyone would. But I don't put sunscreen on or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
You have
I
to
never
take
get
put
sick.
that to the test when you go to the Caribbean.
Yeah, I never get sick. It just,
Yeah.
I might feel with like slight symptoms for a day or two, but it never develops into anything.
Well, so that's a real life
Yeah.
person who's doing this.
So the best vitamin in the world, you know what it is?
Iron. Iron.
Well, I should say multivitamin.
Meat.
Liver.
Yes.
Beef liver.
Yeah.
So I was eating raw for a while with the honey and salt, but I think I got a parasite because I was getting it from the grocery store all the time.
Ew,
So, and it was on the tablets, but now my farm mixes it in the ancestral blend, so it's liver, heart, and ground
oh
beef.
my
You can't taste, you
God.
don't notice the difference. It's very subtle, but liver has, I think it's just missing like vitamin C. It has all of the vitamins you need.
Really?
Yeah. It's so powerful. And then not to mention, they haven't even been able to identify them yet, do the studies on it, but all the peptides in there, they really help. And there's a lot of evidence that points towards if you eat the corresponding organ from a cow,
Yeah.
it will help your organ in your body.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
So I've done brain ones, I've done beef testicles.
Do you eat seafood at all?
Very rarely. It has to be wild caught.
Okay.
I would say more than I'm more rigid about what I don't eat versus than what I do eat. So, I'm much more rigid about not consuming seed oils, not consuming stuff that's going to be doused in chemicals and
Right.
polluted.
But like a beautiful wild caught salmon.
Yeah, I do that. Definitely.
Or like, so if you're on vacation, would you?
Probably. Yeah, haven't done it outside of the U.S. since I started this diet, but like I think if I went to Italy, I would probably eat pizza.
Yeah. Okay. I was wondering
Right,
that.
I'm not like crazy crazy like
Because then
that.
you're going to get into like sort of punishing yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to want to do it anymore. And then you're going to stop doing it.
Right, but it's been like 2 years now.
Yeah. I feel like it has been a while.
Yeah, no, I love it, and
And
I don't push it on people, but everyone that's like people will start it and they find it hard to sustain it, but whenever they start it, they're like, I feel the difference.
why do you think it's hard to sustain?
I think societal pressure. I think there's a lot of it's not that accessible. It's hard to
Meat's
go.
expensive.
Can be expensive.
Yep.
Yeah, and therefore you need to, like today I'm out of the house all day instead of working from home.
Right. How did you handle
So I
that?
have a steak. I chopped up. It's in the fridge in the office. So, so I think that plays into it as well. It's a bit more effort than usual. And that's where people can fall apart. But I think the biggest problem is, and I try and coach people through it, but it's you can't just go cold turkey on everything and all at once. Just
Yeah, it sounds
some
like.
people can. Some people need to do that. But I'm looking at your book there, Outlived by Peter Attia. I haven't read it. I think I have the audio version
I
actually.
haven't either, embarrassingly,
I'm
but
pretty
it's
sure
waiting for
he's
me.
very big on red meat.
Yeah, I gotta pack that thing.
So.
Maybe we should read that for a little book club.
Yeah, but I think it's becoming popular, but just because it works, it really does.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I like about it is that, and I'm sure everybody can poke a hole in anything, but it's like, it is the way I'm very into lately thinking about simplifying like everything, including eating. And that is the way, like, I think of it in terms of like movement and eating, right? Movement, humans used to be hunting, and gathering 6 to 8 hours a day at
Yeah.
least. So on their feet that whole time. So we're meant to move, and they also, this is the way they ate.
Yeah.
They weren't, certainly weren't eating processed food, probably weren't eating grains. Meat's really kind of all that they had. I
Right, and if
mean,
they were eating
maybe,
grains, they were clean, they were fermenting
yeah.
them. The amount of chemicals they put in bread over here to to keep it on the shelves. It's just, I mean, I remember when I moved here, and I was like, why is this bread not moldy?
You know, I know, it's a little like alarming.
2 or 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little alarming. I've had things in the cabinets like by mistake. We didn't eat them, but like I've had stuff that I sort of like forgot about, you know, for like weeks and it's still good. Like it, it's not cute.
Yeah. So I, rather than carnivore, I like the animal based diet.
Oh, that's good.
That's where, nice. Paul Saladino's kind of coined that phrase, but that's, it's animal based, but you still have fruit.
Okay.
You still have honey, maple syrup.
Dairy. I'm very, sorry, did you have more?
No, that was it.
I'm very interested right now in more like cutting the grain side, but I could see myself maybe going that way a little bit more.
And I have to tell you, like, I don't miss it. I'll probably, I'll have a bagel once every 2 weeks, maybe once a month.
Do you feel like crap after you eat a bagel?
No, and I remember seeing a comment on, it was a post about something like this, and this one guy said, he eats the way I do, but he said, to be truly metabolically healthy, you should be in a position where it doesn't matter what you eat, you're okay afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. So I kind of don't want to be in a position where if I accidentally eat something or if I feel like eating something, all of a sudden I'm stuck to the toilet for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that way. And I do still enjoy certain stuff. Like I haven't had pasta in 2 years.
Really?
If we get pizza, no, not at all. If we get pizza, I just scrape the cheese and tomato off and eat that, and I still get the taste.
You don't miss it.
No, not at all. I used to love sandwiches. Like even with burgers, just take the bun off.
Would you eat like vegan cheese?
No, because there's no such thing as vegan cheese. It's just not cheese. It's not cheese. It's a
processed block of something, right? Yeah.
And with vegans, you're just not going to get the nutrition you need. You're not.
I think you probably can.
No, you can't.
You really have to be diligent.
You can't. You just can't. You can't.
You can't.
You really can't. But there's so many similarities with, because at least how I view the carnivore diet, like we both love animals. I believe that animals are here for us to consume. And that's a religious belief. And if you want to call it an evolutionary belief, if that can be in the same sentence, but just from a natural perspective, like what it's about, the food chain.
What about somebody who says the animal didn't want to die? The animal didn't want to die.
It wouldn't have been born in the first place.
What do you mean?
It was born to be die. Consumed. Yeah. But it's what I care about.
It's bred to be consumed.
What I care about is how the animal is treated while it's alive.
Yeah. See, same with me. I think there's two things. There's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You're very interested in like conscious farming. I don't know what's, I'm not.
Yeah, really regenerative farming.
You know way more about this than me, but like versus a feedlot where the cows are
I won't buy
absolutely
any of that.
Disgusting. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather fast than if I have to buy that meat.
Yeah. Because you're also like taking in all that like horrific energy.
We've talked about that. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, it sounds stupid, but when I drive to the farm, a lot of the farm is like I'm picturing now, it's on the left. And sometimes the cows will be out there and I always shout, I love you.
Aww.
Like, it sounds stupid, but you want them to feel loved because that's the energy you're consuming. And that was so, we've talked about it before, but it was so profound when I heard someone say that. I was like, yeah, you're so right.
Yep.
So it's, conscious based, animal based. But I think to your point of cutting things out, I think that's where people should start. And then, because even if it's hard to eat vegan, truly eat vegan and not consume that stuff because
and I don't think I'm not gonna I there was a time when I would toy with the idea of going vegan, but I just need more just for me right now where I am at the stage that I am in my life, like I really need to be focusing on protein, which is hard to do when you're vegan and vegetarian. Need to be focusing on protein, and I need to be cutting back the grains, just physically, as a 47-year-old woman.
And believe me, there was a time up until 2 years ago where I would have thought it was near impossible to give up bread because I would eat sandwiches every day. It'd be breakfast, I'd have peanut butter on bread. I don't even really eat peanut butter anymore.
Really?
I'll lick the spoon if I give it to the kids. That's it. It's just, it's not, once you do it, it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the benefits far outweigh any kind of like missing of said foods.
Mm-hmm. And I bet you're not snacking.
Rarely.
Yeah. That's like huge.
Mm-hmm. I never really did.
I'd say, I feel like that wasn't.
Yeah, but like I don't do protein shakes. I get all my protein from my food.
There's a protein shake next to me.
Yeah, I don't need it.
Yeah, I feel like I need it right now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
I think we should wrap here.
We do need
to. I do have another topic, but we'll save that for next week or the week after.
Yeah. No, that should be a whole episode.
Yeah.
That one. We'll do it next week.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Good.
All right. Well, hopefully no one else is going to get exposed. Well, we've already got some celebrities.
They will. I feel like now it's like a...
expose season. Cat Williams was right.
It went from The Guardian, which is a little... The Guardian did Jay Shetty, and then it went to New York Magazine. So now it's like... Now I feel like they're all on the hunt because they saw how successful mm-hmm. The Guardian piece was. So now I feel like... I don't know. I just feel like all U.S. journalists and organizations now are like...
Find it.
Yeah. They're like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, and let us know if you decide to try a grain-free or animal-based
diet. And I'm always available. I love sharing my experience and any advice I can give. So just hit me up.
Yep. You're very knowledgeable.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
All right, toodles.
Bye.